10 minutes to 8 o'clock, you're with SAFM. John in for Stephen today. Now, the government is hoping a new six-month ban on the export of scrap and waste metal will cut down on the theft of copper cables, which have contributed to power outages and left trains stranded. Let's see what the implications are for that with Donald McKay, Trade Advisor for Metal Recyclers Association. Donald, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. Is this a feasible thing? Can you ban the export of scrap metal for 6 months?
Well, you could. I'm not sure it's a great idea. In fact, the export of scrap metal was banned for 3 months in 2020 with little effect on the theft of infrastructure. So, sure, it could be banned, but how effective, don't know.
Okay, so why are they thinking about doing this?
Yeah, I think it's probably quite a desperate reaction to the nightmare that's unfolding with the theft of infrastructure. I'm not sure that the banning is the way to go. I think a lot of the other proposals put forward in the Gazette are actually quite good, such as banning the trade in cash of scrap metal, for example. But exports, in fact, account for quite a small portion of the amount of scrap collected, somewhere between 12 and 15% of all scrap. So the bulk of scrap is still consumed locally, and it therefore follows that probably the bulk of the stolen scrap is probably getting processed in South Africa. And if it is exported, probably not being exported as scrap, but rather in some sort of processed form.
Okay, Donald, talk us through the process of how scrap metal is processed. A man or a woman steals 100 kilos of copper cable from somewhere. What do they do with it?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I have no first-hand knowledge, but I'm gonna walk you through what I think happened. Mm-hmm. So probably you would not want to be sitting with that stolen material in your possession for too long. So they could be working with a foundry or a mini mill or someone who can melt the copper down. You could take that copper, melt it down. And the minute, of course, it gets melted, it loses its characteristics as scrap. And also much of the control around the movement of the product disappears at that point. So we don't have an equivalent amount of control over processed products as we do on the raw material itself. And I think in there is probably where one of the problems arise. But by the way, that is proposed to be addressed in the new Gazette, where they're looking to impose kind of equal levels of control over the processed product as they are on the raw material. So I think mm-hmm. that part of it could certainly have an effect.
Okay, so the metal is melted down. What is that? Just like a local guy with a big fire, or is it like in a big factory type place?
Yeah, no, I think it'd be a bit more than a guy with an open fire. Although the cables are very often taken to the yard with the casing having been burnt off, and in fact, if you do arrive at a scrapyard with burnt material, they have to report it to the police. Mm. But I don't think you just have a fire. It would have to have someone with a furnace, an electric arc furnace. And this is something else that they are now looking to control, to kind of track where these furnaces are and needing to have a permit before you can import them. Because, of course, that is where the conversion would happen.
Because you see where I'm going with this, Donald McKay. It's surely, and I'm using that word way too much today, there is an understanding of where the metal comes from before it gets used anywhere else in industry. Do we know where the illegal stuff is going?
Yeah, that I don't know. I mean, I would presume if they did know, they would be arresting the people. But there's definitely an enforcement problem, which is
right,
coupled with the fact that the price of some of these metals have been moving upwards globally. So if you have poor security and poor enforcement with a valuable product, then probably that ends up in theft. And we all know we've got sophisticated criminal networks in South Africa. There's no reason to think that those same syndicates couldn't apply their minds to the scrap metal trade.
So it comes down to law enforcement. We just don't have enough people on the ground to be able to prevent stolen scrap metal from getting into the wrong hands.
Yeah, I think it's not so much just a question of numbers. We've also had specialized units like the Copperheads that got disbanded, the specialized training that certain police would be given. A lot of this is simply discontinued. So I think a part of the problem is to enforce well, You have to understand what it is you're looking for. And those specialized units will hopefully be revived as part of this process. But that's, I think, a big part of the problem.
Okay, explain to me the legal metal recycling, seeing as you're a metal recycling association, Donald. If I've got, I'm fixing up my house, for example, and I'm redoing all the cables. Now I've got a whole lot of cables. What is the legal way of doing it?
Yeah, so you could, you would probably put it outside of your property and someone would come past and collect it in all likelihood. They would gather a whole lot of this material and they would take it to the closest scrapyard. Mm-hmm. Depending what the material is, let's assume nothing in there is stolen. Depending what the material is, a price will be offered. That price is quite a complicated calculation to get to, but an offer will be made. If the person accepts the price, they will be paid for that load. And the product then enters the yard. It will be sorted into whatever the different metals are. And depending what it is, it would be shredded. It would be put into some way that could be used by a processing company, like a Score Metals, if it's steel, or one of the copper processing companies. You would get it into those packs, and then you would go to market and attempt to sell it. If you don't get any local buyers, you would apply for an export permit, and you would, if there's no local buyers, ITAC will give you a permit.
Okay, let's go back to this proposal of a six-month ban on the export of scrap and waste metal. How will that affect the legal retailers, the ones that do want to export it? Are their livelihoods at stake here?
Yes, I do think so. So I think the economic impact will be quite devastating. On two fronts. The one is, of course, the price of the metal will fall. And so any scrap that you purchased before the ban would have been paid for at a higher price, but that price will collapse, and the collapse will probably be quite quick. So I would think some of the smaller guys face going out of business. Some of the bigger guys might attempt to take advantage of that, buy up their scrap at their yards at even cheaper prices, and hope the ban ends within 6 months. And they'd obviously then be exposed to much higher prices. But I think it could be chaotic. And I think perhaps the people most harmed by this will be the 300,000 or so waste pickers, the guys with the big trolleys that you see collecting the metal. Their livelihoods, of course, are placed most at stake. As the price of the metal falls, they will be paid far less for it. And presumably some of them will stop collecting. And who knows where that scrap ends up.
You've got 21 days to comment on these proposals. Are you guys going to get very involved with this?
Yes, I believe we will.
Donald McKay, trade advisor of the Metal Recyclers Association. A six-month ban, is that going to work? There was a tweet that came through. Was it a tweet? Yeah. Tweets from Kwanzi saying, embarrassing even to call government now they're proposing to ban scrap metal business for 6 months to stop copper cable theft. Really, they say? Because they cannot apply the law. Next, they'll stop vehicles driving on the road because there are accidents. Let us know what you think. We've got a couple of minutes to go to the news at 8 o'clock.